Turn to John, the book of John, since that's what we're going through this year. Start in verse 12. The chapter starts out with a woman who was caught in adultery, and they wanted to stone her and kill her. Under the law, they wanted to kill her, but they wanted to stone her. But Jesus didn't judge her, or even no one condemned her, and then because everybody is exactly the same. That's why they couldn't condemn her, is because everybody, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So everybody here is in the exact same boat. Me, Willis, Jack, everybody, we're all in the same, under condemnation, under the law. But under the gospel, we are free. And that's what Jesus is going to tell them right here. Now, if you can imagine, these are three columns here. This would be, if you take notes, you can draw three columns or three pictures or just two lines down your paper, and you have three sections. This right here is license. This is just plain old Jane, old wicked people. And over on that column, you would have legalism. And in this column, you'd have the atonement. You'd have the cross on the top. Then you'd have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is baptism by fire. And then you'd have glorification. So those are the... Just imagine that's the way it is right there. Now I'm going to read what Jesus said. In verse 12, it says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then the Pharisees were talking about, oh, you bear record of yourself. And Jesus, talked to him about that. And then let's skip all the way to verse 34. Or 33. And they answered him and said, we have Abraham's seed. We are Abraham's seed, and we have neither bondage. We have never been in bondage to any man. How saith that we shall be made free? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And a servant abideth not in his house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Which later on he'll say, your father is the devil. So, this pillar right here is the only place you can be free. License is bondage. You'll never be free. License is just, you do your own thing. You commit adultery, you fornicate, you lust, you have greed, you're prideful, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride. That's the love of this world. But this is the love of the world too. This is your religion. This is where you are living there, but you pretend like you're here. Or you pretend like you're here. Where you imagine in your vain imaginations that you're free over here because you're doing good. At least you're not like these guys, but you're exactly like those guys. So all that is the same. You're not free here, and you're not free here. The only place you're free is here. And here, you're not condemned. Jesus is your propitiation. That means God's going to judge you favorably here. You've already been judged. Jesus said, I did not come to judge the world. I came to save the world. So here you're saved. Here you're going to be judged by the law, as we'll read here in a second, about Moses. Jesus said, You guys are trying to, because they said, Jesus, we're disciples of Moses. He's our guy. And Jesus said, well, Moses spoke of me. And then he said, Moses will be your judge. In other words, you're going to be judged by the law, and you're not going to make it under the law. So that guy, those guys aren't going to make it because they're being judged by the law. But these guys are being judged by the law too, because even though they're not under any law, they're just sinning, they're going to be judged because the Bible says that even the Gentiles who don't even know God, and they're not there, then they'll be judged by their own conscience, or they'll be judged by just, it's pretty much the same as that, because the law is written on your heart. So both those things will be judged. But this right here, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Matrix. Probably have, but it's kind of like that. This does not really exist. This is an illusion. Because this legalism is like being good. But no one's good but God. So that's an illusion, that you're good, or that you've made it, or anything like that. But thank God, which I'm going to read in a minute. I'm going to read 1st and 2nd, just some out of 1st and 2nd John, about Jesus being our propitiation. He's our high priest. He went into heaven for us. He's a forerunner before us. So he judges everyone here favorably. That's what propitiation means. It means I'm going to be judged. He took all the wrath. Jesus took all the punishment. Everything that I did, Jesus paid for it. So when I go before the judge, which really, God's actually for me too. So the judge, who is God, the Father, he's favorable. He loves me, and he wants things to work out good for us. He's going to cheat on this whole judgment thing. He's going to put it all on Jesus, and I'm going to get off scot-free. Now, it doesn't mean, that's awesome. And that's where we start. That's right there. That's the cross. That's the blood. That's the atonement that Jesus made. But the atonement is threefold. Because even though I'm free from sin, God doesn't want me to live here. He doesn't want me to live there. Even though I'm going down this narrow path, I still stray every day. I'm either here, or I'm over there. I'm all over the map. So your Christian walk is kind of like straight and narrow path, and then you're always. But that's just your flesh. That's not really you. You're straight and narrow. Because, as he says in John, if you are born of God, you don't sin. But you don't. The born again you, the Jesus in you, never sins. But your flesh, you still live in this world, so you still have a flesh. Your flesh is going to be all over the map. That's why we have to die. We have to die to license, which a lot of people do. A lot of people misunderstand the message because they want to, well, I'm born again, I can just sin all I want, and then I'll go to heaven one day, and which might be true, I don't know. But I don't want to live like that, because that doesn't lead to happiness. That doesn't lead to joy unspeakable and full of glory. That will never make you happy. I'm going to be born again, say a prayer when I'm a little kid or whatever, and then I'm just going to live like hell until Jesus comes back. Or I'm going to be good. I'm going to, you know, buckle up. I'm gonna straighten my life out. I'm gonna turn over a new leaf and be a good person. So both ways do not work. The only way this will work is you come to the Lord boldly to the throne of grace, exactly the way you are. That and that. You never come to God like that because you don't have, because you don't. Because that's not where you are right now in the flesh. You're not there. So just come exactly the way you are. That's why the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace, you may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because the atonement, mercy always mitigates whatever the law says. Whatever the law demands, Jesus did it. He lived your life for you. He did everything for you, in you and through you. And that's the atonement. That's the cross, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then glorification. When Jesus comes back, God gave you a down payment in this life so that you can live victoriously over license and over legalism. You can live over both. Because legalism, legalism over here is fearful. Because you don't know if you did enough, or you're good enough, or you think you're good enough, which even is even worse because you're living in an illusion. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish people at the time of Jesus, even to this day, they're living in illusion because they'll never keep the Sabbath. Jesus already kept the Sabbath. That's why Jesus healed on the Sabbath. That's why his disciples ate corn on the Sabbath, which they weren't supposed to do. And he did all these things on the Sabbath because Jesus was the Sabbath. Every day is a Sabbath. For us, we're living in Sabbath. We're living in rest. That means there's no more work. Here, you're working, even though you're a slave to sin. So whatever you're addicted to, you're addicted to it. If you're addicted to drugs, then you're a slave to it. If you're addicted to pornography, then you're a slave to it. If you're addicted to anything, pride, fear, a lot of people live in fear, that they're addicted to it and they're a slave to it, then you have to serve it. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, and it'll kill you, it'll wear you out. It'll wear you down to where you're just totally, totally defeated. Here, same thing. If you're a legalist, and I lived that, being in the homeschool, my homeschooled all my kids, living in that community, there's a lot of legalism. You know, Bill Gothard or whatever. A lot of people live under a lot of legalism. But as soon as they're, and they work hard, these people work all their lives, and they're really legalistic with their kids. And even when they become teenagers, when they should be teaching them the gospel, they're still under legalism, legalism, legalism. Then when they get to college, it's awful. It's awful. I'm telling you, it's awful. It's worse than if you were to raise them that way. It's bad. Because kids are under too much pressure and they can't handle it. They can't handle all that law. And you can't either. If you're under a yoke, then you're under a yoke. And the Pharisees said, no, we have never been a slave. So the only slavery there is in the world is sin. Even if you were a slave, let's say you were a servant, like even in Jesus' day, people had servants who they bought and sold and all that kind of stuff. But Paul even said, even if you're a slave, you can still be free. You're God's free man. So it doesn't matter what your circumstances are at all. It just matters what you believe. You live by faith. What is the victory that overcomes that? Faith. What is the victory that overcomes legalism? Faith. So that's how you overcome it. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony, you love not your life even unto death. And that's something that God's teaching all of us in our church right now, because we don't have a whole lot of stuff in our church. At this church, or even in the Fort Worth church, there's not a whole lot of, you know, thrills and chills in the church, to say the least. So that's all we got is this. But it's enough. It's enough for this. Every morning, you can be happy. Every day, you can live victoriously and joyful. But all you got to do is get rid of that and get rid of that. You got to throw it off every day. Every day, it shows up. You know, every day, you want to lust. Every day, you want to have pride. Every day, you want to be something's interesting in this world to you besides Jesus. And every day you want to come, maybe I can do it. Maybe I can be a good person and turn over a new leaf. And, you know, we just had January 1st not too long ago, and everybody has a New Year's resolution to do this or to do that. But it rarely ever happens. But at least they tried. Over here, you're not even trying. But at least you're trying over there. But neither one of them does any good. Whether you try or you don't try, you're not going to be free. So it's better to live here. It's, as a matter of fact, it's the only way. It's the only way you can get to heaven. It's the only way you can live life in this world is that way, by faith. The just shall live by faith. Your life is totally by faith. So Here I'm just, you know, living for myself, total selfishness. Over there I'm living totally selfish too. And here I'm being set free. Because every day I remember that you have to start out that way every day. You got to start out with the cross every day. Jesus, oh man, I can't believe it. Even though I've sinned grievously and I tried to cover it up with my religion, even though I did that, you know, you forgive me and you love me and I am free. I never do anything, start the day out without being free first. Free from the law and free from license. That's how you have to start out your day. You have to remember the atonement. I'm going straight to the cross when I wake up. I'm going to go straight to that cross and I'm going to die. I'm dead. I'm dead and my life is hid with Christ and God. I say it out loud. And all it is the word. Jesus said, if you're my disciples, you'll continue in my word. And all it is the word. All you're doing is saying it. Because it's by faith. You're not even, I don't even know what it looks like or spiritually what all that looks like and all that kind of, I don't even know. I'm just saying it because the Bible says to say it. So I'm just saying, I am dead and my life is hid with Christ and God. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. And I'm just saying it and saying it and saying it over and 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 over again. And then I'll believe it. And then once you have faith, once you believe, then you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. All you do is ask. If He's given you Jesus Christ, He will freely give you all things. Even if He gave you Himself. That's really all you need. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father's in the Son, and the Son's in us, and we're in Him. And it's all mixed together so that God's doing all the work, and He gets all the glory. Him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So everything I've done here is God's work. It's all a gift. So He gets all the glory. Here, I'm doing something. You know, boastful pride of life and all that kind of thing. Over there, I'm doing something too. Even though it's religious and it's just covering up for that. Still, I'm doing something. Here, I'm doing nothing. You're doing something there, you're doing something there, and there you do nothing. But like I said, this thing over here does not exist. It's just an illusion. This isn't real. This is the Jewish thing, the Catholic thing, the whatever religion you want to name, that's all just an illusion. It's just made up. It's totally made up. And you have to see that. And this is real. This is not real either, but it's real. This part here is what the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you come here, then you can get this. If you become a sinner every day, then you can get the atonement. And if you're forgiven much, then you love much. You'll be perfected in love. Every day you have to see that you are a sinner to the hilt. Just like the prostitute, just like the whore, she was forgiven. And she was, you know, anointing Jesus' feet with oil and crying and blah. And Jesus was telling them something. If you're forgiven much, you love much. If you owe God, you know, over here you owe God maybe a penny. You imagine, this is your imagination. Well, God, I haven't heard people say this before. Well, when I got saved, I was basically a good person. And, you know, God, but then I had a few problems and God helped me out. So that's that. But you're not going to love much. I mean, you're not going to be in love with Jesus. There's no love there. Yeah. But here, which I was, and you were, and you are right now, you're here, you're going to love much because you've been forgiven tons. Tons. I'm telling you, being forgiven. If you see that every day, how merciful and how kind God is, here He has mercy and He has power. Because mercy, because grace, or atonement and all that has three parts to it, actually. He has forgiveness, the cross. Let's pretend like the cross is on the top there. That's forgiving. It's God's mercy. That's the mercy seat on top. But I still have to do the law. You still have to do the law. But it's not you doing it. It's Jesus doing it for you and in you and through you. So the law is going to be established through Jesus Christ in me so that I can be glorified, so that when Jesus comes back, he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well, I didn't do anything. I just believed. Well, that's what he wants. This is the work of God. It's a work. But it's his work. You have to do the works of God. But the works of God are not what you think. They're not, you know, witnessing or healing people or doing anything like that. That's what God does. God does that. But that's really not what the work is. The work is the cross. That's the good work that Jesus did. That's the work. The work that he did so that Alex could be born again, a new creation, one of his, a son, and so that he could be, the Holy Spirit's right there in the middle, the Holy Spirit can baptize him in the Holy Spirit so that he can be purged of all of his sin and have power to do the works of God. And so that one day when Jesus comes back, he'll see him, he'll see Jesus, and he'll be exactly like him. Exactly. And he'll see him as he is, and he'll be exactly like him. Amen? Okay, so 1 John. 1 John, this is the same John. Different book. I'd like to read the whole thing, but I don't have time for that. But let's go 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So it's a deception, it's an illusion that you have no sin. It's just a sheer illusion. And you'll never be free there. So if we say we don't have any sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But we confess our sins right here, which we all have. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, the cross, and then baptism of the Holy Spirit to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you have, you're just a wicked sinner, but then you go to the cross, you're born again. This is every day. You don't get saved every day, but every day you go through the gospel because you have to live it. That's why Paul, everywhere he went, Peter, Philip, Silas, Mark, all of them, Timothy, whenever they went to a place, they would have to reaffirm the gospel right away. That's the first thing they did. They had to reaffirm. And Peter said, I'm writing you this second letter so that to put you in remembrance, so you don't forget these things, so you don't forget. But you have to do this every day by yourself, because this is your life. This is your whole life. You have no other life. If you're in the world, lust of flesh, lust of eyes, boast of pride, that's all that's in the world. The Bible says that. So all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. And I fall for that trick every day because I'm weak and pitiful. But I'm not going to go to that side because I know I don't have any hope there. Because I'm not going to turn over a new leaf. I've never been that way my whole life. I just can't do it. I don't even know how people do it. When I got married to my wife, I was amazed how disciplined she was and how how sinless she was. I was amazed. And she would tell you that same thing. She'd say, yeah, I was a good person. But it was all fake and phony, and it was just her being good. Because she was afraid, she was scared to death of this, being wicked and evil. Because those were wicked, evil people were all going to hell, and they weren't going to make it. So she was scared. Because this is scary right here, because you don't have any part of it. Right? When you get rid of religion, it's scary. Because then you have nothing to hang your hat on in the flesh. You have nothing to hang your hat on, but then, because God is just so, you know. That's all the lust of the flesh out there. But Jesus is scary because he doesn't have any, because you can't see him. and he's not, I don't know, he just doesn't seem like he's going to come through because you're still struggling with all this, and he's up in heaven with God and all that, and he doesn't even know what's going on. This is how we think. I used to think like this. God's got so many people in the world that he's dealing with, and he's going to deal with me. He's not going to help me. He didn't have time or something. But he does.
He does.
And he's totally excited about you, all of you. Every one of us as individuals. See, that's the way God operates as individuals. The groups are always a mess. I mean, you know, Lee and I have, every Wednesday we have a house church, and a lot of people come, but it's a mess. People are a mess. I always tell my wife, if it wasn't for people, man, church would be awesome. I'm just teasing, but you know, but it's like, you know, everybody has a different idea, and it's just a mess. But that's just the way we are. Because license or legalism, then you have to get everybody here, and it's just hard. Because people are afraid of Jesus, and they're afraid of the Holy Spirit, and they're afraid of losing their life. I tell you, it's a scary thing to lose your life in this world, because you want to keep it. You want to keep it. And Jesus wants you to lose your life for it, and then get a new life. If you keep your life, then you'll lose it. If you lose your life, then you'll keep it to everlasting life. So the life that you have in this world is nothing. It doesn't matter if you are fat, skinny, retarded, unretarded, or whatever. It doesn't matter. But that life you have to lose. And you have to hate, not hate, literally hate, but hate brother, sister, mother, father, your house, your stuff. You just have to give it up because it's not... I can tell you a story. Leah's mom and dad live with us, and I was telling Willis and them that they're in their 90s, and you know, they, because they're old, and they her dad has Alzheimer's, and they just mess everything up. It's like having two little kids because they, you know, they'll break stuff. And I think I've replaced their toilet seat I don't know how many times since they moved in. And and then they mess up on the furniture. And but Leah's mom is very legalistic, so she's very difficult to live with sometimes. Because she grew up Baptist, so she's real proper. And anyway, her husband went there's just two chairs I have in my living room. They're actually called the lady that gave them to us. Our neighbor, she called them pastor's chairs because they're just two chairs that are exactly alike, and you put them, kind of face them together, and then you have a coffee table or whatever in the middle. And anyway, Leah's dad came in, and he had an accident on one of them. It was just a couple nights ago. Anyway, so the next morning, she was nervous. I mean, she's like really nervous. She goes, I got to tell you something. And Lee and I are like, what? What happened? And she goes, Lloyd, he had an accident on your chair. Like it was, you know, the golden something. I don't know what she thought it was. But me and Lee are the whole time were thinking it was her room, her mom, because she has all this furniture from her aunt who was supposedly rich and left her all this antique furniture, but it's not really antique. She thinks it is, but it's not. Anyway, so Lee and I thought, oh my gosh, some of her furniture got messed up. So we're saying, oh, it's all right. It's just stuff. It's not eternal. You know, we're kind of comfort her about it because we don't care about stuff at all. But then we found out the whole time it was our chair later on. But I was still, Lee, she was amazed that Lee and I were the same way. We go, oh, good, it was our chair. Who cares? But she was, so it just totally got her off of that. And then she was like, she was amazed that me and her didn't even care. Yeah, but it's you know, and she's all nervous about it. But anyway, that's what people are. They're nervous about stuff. They're in love with stuff and stuff that, anything you can see in this world, including yourself, your face, everybody else's face, all that stuff is not eternal. our bodies aren't eternal, they're corruptible. Your body will not make it to heaven. You'll have a new body, spiritual. It'll be totally awesome. Your stuff will not go to heaven with you. Whatever stuff you like, it's not going to go to heaven. Nothing will go to heaven except for what you can't see. Your soul, your spirit, the real you will go to heaven. The real Jesus in you will go to heaven, and it'll be glorious. And you will be his building, his temple. You're the temple in heaven. The tabernacle, people think it's very interesting. Wow, why can't we find the Ark of the Covenant? It would be awesome, you know, God's presence and all that, but that's an illusion. That's not even real. That was just a type of what was in heaven. There's a heavenly tabernacle that's right here. That's the tabernacle that we have now. That tabernacle, the old tabernacle, was just a type of what the real thing, which is your life every day. Every day you go to the outer court, every day you go into the holy place, the court, where you got all that stuff that's beaten up, you're just crushed in there, and then you go into the Holy of Holies. But actually, it's the opposite. You actually go right into the Holy of Holies. Amen. Come boldly to the throne of grace, you may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You're going boldly to the throne of grace. Even in the midst of this. But people don't want to do that. They want religious people go, they do a sin or something, and they go immediately over there. Well, and people do this all the time. I do it. I mean, we all do it. Well, when I straighten up a little bit, then I can, at least a little bit, then I can go to the cross and check out Jesus, what he's up to. But I got to get cleaned up a little bit first. But you will never clean up. You will never, ever clean up. It's just an illusion. You have to let Jesus do it. So I'm just going, Jesus, like, for instance, Leah's mom, because she's my mother-in-law, so sons-in-laws usually don't like their mother-in-laws, right? It's just the way it is. It's just some kind of natural... There's just something evil about mother-in-laws. I'm just kidding. So anyway, my mother-in-law, when she first moved, I just had a hard time. And I knew God wanted me to love her. But I just couldn't. I said, God... I didn't even want to. I had no want to. I said, God, I don't even want to. I'm enjoying, you know, jabbing at her and making her miserable. I wish she was just miserable. I don't know. I know it's evil, but... So anyway, but I knew in my heart of hearts, I knew, God, you're going to do something, aren't you? You're going to... Because I'm confessing it right to him. I just came right to the throne of grace. I said, God, I just hate her. You know, blah, blah, blah. And I went into all this stuff. And I said, Lord, but I know you're going to make me love her, aren't you? And I don't want you to. But I'm just going to say, look, but I'm not going to help you out. I said, look, I'm not going to help you out. Because I know that if I did, it would be phony and fake and all that. I'm just not going to help you out. So if you want me to love her, then you do. And I just went on with my life. I said, oh, you do it, God. And I knew he would because I asked him to, and he's always faithful and just. He always answers our prayers. Those are the kind of prayers that God answers. But he had to do something. But it took a long time because he had to kill something in me. I don't know what it was, but he had to kill something in me. So eventually, I just found myself having compassion for her and trying to help her out, and not that I'm perfect at it, but I'm just saying. So God did it, and I was like, man, I knew you'd do it. And it ruined all my fun, because I was having fun. Sometimes when you hate people, you have fun doing it. Or you're depressed, or you're anxious, or you're whatever, because there's a glory to it. You're God. You're in control. You're getting a little bit of fingerprint on it or whatever. It's your work. But here, it's it depresses your flesh because you're not getting any glory. You're not getting any dopamine or something. I don't know, whatever it is, you're not getting it. But when this is done, when this work is done every day, man, you are happy because you are free. You see, gosh, over here I was striving. Over here I was just guilty. And I wasn't having any fun. But here, oh my gosh, God did everything. I am free. So now I'm happy. I'm glad. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. This is the house of the Lord. This is, you know, the just wickedness, and that's just you being good. Those two things will never lead to happiness. This is joy unspeakable and full of glory, but it doesn't seem like it because you're just doing it by faith. It's just faith. So faith conquers that, and faith conquers that because it's all Jesus. And all those people out there are all probably going to go to hell for being so loud. I'm just kidding. But, you know, that's just not going to work. And that's where most people want to go. You want to go from there to there. I know a lot of people, even my brother, a lot of my relatives, they go from that, and they're trying to be good, and it's killing them. They're all diseased and have a lot of health problems. They got a lot of this, they got a lot of that, because there's a lot of stress in it. Stress, it affects your body because you're guilty and you're trying to mitigate your own sin. It stresses your body out. But here, man, you're just coming right in just like you are. You're not even God, you know, and you just got to be that way. God, you know, I hated my mother-in-law, and I'm not going to fix up. I'm not going to, because if you don't do it, then it's not going to get done. Because this, and it's years and years and years ago, I wouldn't have done that. I would have tried to do it myself because I didn't know. I thought, well, I'm a Christian. I ought to be good. I ought to do this, or I ought to do that, or I ought to be better. But I never could do it, because which was good, because I knew in my flesh I just wasn't a good person. But until I heard the gospel, I was always trying to be a good Catholic, always trying to be a good son, always trying to be a good whatever. I wasn't married yet, so I didn't have to worry about that. But I had a lot of other stuff. And here, I had to give all that up. So I did. Here, I just gave it up and said, God, you know, you got to do it. So I'm just gonna. It says right here in your Bible, and I'm just reminding you, it says, come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm going to receive mercy and grace. You are my atonement. You are my propitiation of all my sin. I'm going to give you all my sin. And you're going to give me all your righteousness, and I can't do anything about it. I can't fix up. I can't. I'm just not going to do. I'm not like my wife, you know. When Leah used to eat a candy bar, she'd take one little tiny bite, and then she'd lay it or put it in the refrigerator or something. I don't know what she did, and then she'd take another little bite the next day because she was disciplined. She was awesome. Me. If the candy bar was there, I'd just eat the whole thing, you know. That's just the way I was. I had no discipline. So I didn't have a disciplined life, or I didn't have anything going for me. I'm telling you, you got nothing here going for you, even though you imagine you do. If you were smart and you went to college, then you're awesome. If you are really good at quoting scripture and you're a real good person and blah, 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 or over there, whatever. You know, you think you're something. People worship the mind, they worship their will, and they worship their emotions. That's what they worship. That's called idolatry. You worship your will, your mind, and your emotions. Here, same thing, except you're hiding it. Here, you can't worship any of that. There's no idolatry. What's the last thing that John said in 1 John? He said, keep yourselves from idols. And those are idols. Those are idols of this world. Is man can be moral. Man can be good. You can, and you don't need God. Just be good for goodness sake or whatever. That's morality. But that's morality too. That's just, you just switched moralities. You switched that morality for that. That's a, over here is a better way to be moral than that. But really, they're both exactly the same. As a matter of fact, you could just take this pillar over here and stick it right inside that one. That's the same thing. And then all we have is this, which is Jesus. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy or the devil. So the devil's not your problem anymore. The devil's been taken care of. You can read it. You can read it in 1 John. Jesus conquered the devil, beat him up. His works, he's over. All he can do is lie. So the devil has no power. No, he's not that interesting. The problem is, in James it says, when you sin, you're drawn away by your own lust. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. That's the whole world. That's the whole world. The whole world. And that's our life too, apart from Jesus. So Jesus, there's a better way. When lust, when we do all the sin thing, you come to Jesus immediately and you say, Jesus, I can't do it. I need your blood, the cross. So I'm going to right to the blood. It's awesome. Because all my sins forgiven. I'm not even judged for it. I'm not even judged for it. If you were judged for your sin, you would die. Because the wage of sin is death. So I'm not even going to be judged for it. I'm just going to come and give it to Jesus right away. Jesus, I hate my mother-in-law. It's a sin. It's a sin to hate. If you hate your brother, then that's a problem to God. I love your brother. That's part of the law. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So I'm going, okay, God, I got a problem, and I can't solve it. I can't solve that problem. How could you not hate somebody that you hate? How can you do that? You can't do it. Only God can do that. How could you not lust? If you lust, if you're a luster, how can you not lust? You can't just not ever look at a billboard. Or, I mean, you can't. If you lust, you lust. That's just what it is. I mean, you just got to go God like that. Or if I'm, you know, if I'm whatever, angry all the time, or if I'm bitter, or I'm prideful, I tell God I'm not going to solve that problem. I'm just going to tell you, if God, like for instance, if God shows you a sin over here or over there, then don't do anything about it. I'm serious. God's only showed you that sin so that he's telling you he's working on it. Oh, here's what I'm working on today. All right, go for it, man. That's awesome. I'm just going to confess my sin, nail it to the cross, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because you promised. You said, if I ask for the Holy Spirit, you're not going to give me a stone or something else. You're going to give me the Holy Spirit. For power to correct me so that I can be glorified in Jesus, made perfect in love, so I can be perfected in love before Jesus comes back, because I want to keep going. I don't want to stop. I don't want to stop with that or that. Those are not that interesting to me, because that doesn't lead to life. License does not lead to life. Legalism does not lead to life. It doesn't lead to life. It just, there's no life in it. And they're both the same. But some people like that, because at least those people are being moral and nice and they're conservatives or whatever. That doesn't help anything. The only people that change the world, the only people that do anything for eternal things is this group right here. Cross, baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is sanctification and glorification. If you live in that atonement there, then you can change the world. Just you by yourself. You don't even need anybody. Just you and Jesus. That's eternal life right there. So everything in this world is nothing. This, you know, nothing. Everything in this world is nothing. It's just all stuff that God gave you so you can live in this world, but it's all going to burn. That's all already burned, but that's all going to burn. So it's all it is, lust of flesh, lust of eyes, and boastful pride of life. So all man's things that they're building is all in vain. Vanity of vanities. This is totally vain. That's totally vain. It's not even real. It's just an illusion. This is real. But it doesn't look like. This is the last thing that looks real because you can't see it. It's not observable. You can't observe it. I can't see Jesus dying on the cross. I can't see the Holy Spirit. And I can't see perfected in love. I can't see it. Where is it even at? I don't even know. But it's by faith because I read it in the Bible. So I'm doing it completely, totally by faith. So I'm not looking at the world. I'm just looking. It's hard. I mean, it's impossible. Because you look at the things that are outward and you think they're real. And you look at the inward things, the things that are eternal, and you think they're not real. So your flesh thinks just the opposite. Where's God? And that's what the heathens say. You know, they say, you know, in Psalms it says that you're putting your hope in this God. Who is he? Where is he? Remember, the heathen used to say that to the Jews all the time. Where's your God? He's like nothing. Remember Goliath? Psst, David, little puny little guy with a slingshot, and he had a huge spear and a sword and a shield and all this armor and everything. He's like giant. And then, but God, you know, just God and you is enough to beat every giant, to kill every Goliath in this world. And he'll do it. In the end, we all win. Well, as a matter of fact, we've already won. You just can't look that close. Don't look at the world is destroying itself. Because of all the wickedness and all the vileness and all the... They don't even know God. They have no faith. They have no hope. You know, they're worried about global warming and the earth's going to be destroyed and all this stuff. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says everything's okay. We've still got 1,000 years of millennium and all this other stuff before there's a new heavens and a new earth. So we're okay. Because we're not looking at this world. This world is passing away. It's all passing. But the Word of God, it'll be, it's eternal. So I'm reading this Bible every day so that I can grow thereby. Because it's about Jesus and what he's doing. And I want to find out who I am, who he is, and how everything works. But I want to know it detailed like this. I want to know it detailed. So I'm reading about it. So that I can love my mother-in-law in this world. But I don't even want to. I'm not even saying I want to. I don't care about it. But God does. He's concerned about it for whatever reason. But he wants me to love. Because love is of God. God is love. So I have to love. But I'm not going to help him out with it. I can't help him. I'm God. I just can't help him. And I hope you're like that too. You just can't help God out. He's not gonna accept your sacrifice. He's not gonna accept your atonement. He's not gonna accept your juices, your will, your mind, and your emotions. He's not gonna accept all that. All this stuff has to die. So here on the cross, I'm totally dead to this world, to that world. I'm totally dead, and then I live to God. He baptizes me in the Holy Spirit. Because he's in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit's for that. And then to be made perfect in love. Well, that's going to take a work. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a long time. Because I'm hanging on to that still. Even though I know it and I can preach it and everything, still parts of me love this world. But it's awesome. There's computers and awesome movies. I mean, it's awesome everything. You know, it's appealing because it's fun. for a season, it's fun. You know, when I was in college, I had a lot of fun. I wasn't a Christian, so I had a lot of fun. But in the end, it just led to death. I mean, I was dying inside. So I had to, I didn't even know about this. So I was going back to this. Right away, I said, God, I'm going to get to know you this year, and I'm going to go back to church. You know, that's going to help out a lot. So I went back to the Catholic Church for one Mass. I'm going to give it one more shot. One more shot at religion. And it was, and I cried, literally. I remember standing in the pew, and the priest was doing his thing and all that, and I was crying. I was like, God, this is it? This is like nothing. What is it? I don't even understand it. First of all, I don't even understand it. Second of all the robes, and I don't understand it. I don't even know what it is. I mean, what it looks pretty pitiful to me. Is that you? That's it? You're that? So I was crying. But then, you know, a couple weeks later, I met Jesus at work. Some guy on the street led me to the Lord. That's different. That's something I can do because I don't have to go to church. I don't have to say a Hail Mary. I don't have to do Our Father. I don't have to perform. Not performing suits all of you. Right, Willis? If you're not performing, then you're not under any pressure. You don't have to be good. You don't have to be moral. You don't have to be anything. You just have to come believe in Jesus. Believe, believe, believe. All it's belief. It's a gift on top, the cross. The Holy Spirit's a gift. And being perfected in love is a gift. It's all God's work. He's the only one that works. This is all his right hand. And these people will be judged because the Jews want to be judged by the Jews want to be judged by Moses. That's the law. They're not going to make it. Even Moses wasn't judged by the law because he made it. So he lived by faith too. And then the Gentiles, they don't even care. They don't even know anything. They don't even know anything about God. They're just eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow you die because God doesn't exist or he doesn't care or whatever. So they're making God, just like the Jews did, they're mismaking God in their own image. God's like Zeus and Jupiter and all those guys are just drunks and they're just totally debauched, just like us. That's why people like our leaders to be that way, because that's the way they are. They want their leaders to be corrupt because they're corrupt. So that's good. So, but we don't want that. We just want to be here because Jesus does it all. God does everything and we do nothing. And it's a hard place to be because you think it would be great for people to be there, but people don't want to be there because you want a little bit of something for yourself. You want a little bit of glory, a little bit of accolades, a trophy. Saturday, my son Titus was in a basketball tournament. He came in second, but anyway, he got a participation trophy. I hate those things. And then he got a second place trophy too. But that's the reward. My daughter Anna played in college. She was an awesome basketball player. She had boxes of trophies, MVPs, blah, 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 all these trophies. And so she, just recently I think she trashed them all. Because, you know, after a while, they just get dust on them, and you have to keep them places, and it's just a nuisance. Plus, that's just your own glory. So everything's like that. Everything is just you being good, you being glorified, except for this. This way, Jesus is glory, because it's all gift. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Okay, I'm going to read Scripture. And then we're going to, and that'll be it. And you guys can testify if we can all hear you over all this noise. Man, they should have gave you a more quiet room. Get our money back. Maybe we can get our money back. I'm just teasing. Okay. Let's go to 1 John. I'm going to read this. Okay, first, in the second chapter, talks about love not the world, neither things in the world. And this is the promise that he's given us. In verse 25, says eternal life. But the third chapter, beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Praise the Lord. It's by faith. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him not. Jesus said, if the world hates you, hates me, it's going to hate you. So, we're not interested in the world loving us or thinking we're awesome. It doesn't matter. Just do what God says. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that hath his hope on him, in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That's right. That's God's work right here. Purification. He's purifying you, a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. God's doing it. Now God's doing it. And all you're doing is talking to him like I did. Like, God, if you can do it, but I'm not going to help you. You're not helping him out. You're just doing whatever he says to do. Whoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So God, Jesus, already destroyed all the works of the devil. So they're destroyed. But we still have, if you're living here, the devil cannot touch you. He has nothing in you. Like Jesus said, the devil has nothing in me. And the only reason why they could kill Jesus, because it was his time. Remember, they tried to kill Jesus several times before he ever went to the cross. But he said, it's not my time yet. I'm just going to walk through the crowd and escape. He did it several times. But there was a time for him to die, because that's what he did. He destroyed the works of the devil by the cross. And then we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we have all that. So now, I'm not worried about the devil. I just know that God is protecting me, watching over me, so that I can be sanctified and grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all I'm interested in, is that. That's awesome. So I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of my faith. And that's all. That's how I destroy the works of the devil. I just keep my eyes on Jesus, and he does all the work. So I'm looking to him, the cross, the Holy Spirit, being perfected in love. That's all Jesus. Jesus is taking care of me. Because him and the Father himself loveth you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And verse 11 says, and this is a record that we have of God, that he has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. So your life, Jesus is the way of truth and life, your life, your whole life, it doesn't matter what you think or what you feel or what you know or don't know, your whole life is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and life. So that's all the life we have. And I know that. I know that that's my whole life now. When I got saved way long time ago, I knew my life would never be the same, even though I've done crazy, stupid things. I sin all the time. But still, my life is, I know my life is God. I have no other life. I don't care about my job. I don't care about my anything. Because I know if I do this every day, go to the cross, worship God, thank him, worship him, praise him, read his word, that I'll be changed, because I'm beholding him. And it's the only way. Well, for me, it's the only way, because I can't do that. I mean, I could, but I'm not disciplined enough to be religious. I wasn't even disciplined enough to be a Catholic, and it's pretty easy. You go to Mass. I grew up Catholic, so I know you go to Mass on Sunday, and that pretty much takes care of at least one mortal sin if you go to Mass on Sunday. And if you get married and you don't get a divorce, then that takes care of another sin that could send you to hell, and murder, there's a couple other ones that are mortal sins. The rest of them you can just say Hail Marys, you can kind of atone for it. But I couldn't even do that. I couldn't even keep up that. I couldn't even do the little simple thing. As a matter of fact, when the priest would say, okay, Danny, you did this sin, this sin, this sin, say 10 Hail Marys, 5 Our Fathers, whatever he said. And I always cheated. I would go sit in the pew and I'd say, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail. Instead of saying the whole thing, I'd just say the Hail Mary. I took care of my 10 Hail Marys. So I could do my whole penance in like 15 seconds.
Right? Like, get me out of here.
Yeah, because I wasn't, because I'm not, you know, I'm not, I don't know, I'm just not, you know, none of us are like that. We just can't do the thing, whatever. Even if you tried your hardest and you were awesome at it, it's just, all that stuff is vain. It's empty. It's not. It doesn't lead to life. This way is way better. Just go to Jesus boldly to the throne of grace, because he always has mercy, and the Father loves you, and he's already rigged it so you win. You have the victory every day. Thanks be unto God who always leads me in victory. Always. So this is victorious. So but I'm just doing it by faith because I don't even know that. How do I know I'm victorious? I don't know, because the Bible says I am. How do I know I'm going to win? If I do this, God, other people tell me to do that and to do that. That would lead to life for sure. You know, drinking and smoking and chewing and going with those that do and committing adultery and all that kind of stuff. That sounds like fun. This sounds like not fun, but at least I'm being good. But they're both wrong. You know, I have to go to that, and that's so, you know, it's like this. I'm telling you, I remember when I first got this, it was scary to go here because that's all I got? Just this stupid Bible? Some word that I can't even feel or touch or smell? I just got to, and I got to believe it? I don't know how I'm going to do that, but somehow I did. I don't know, I just read it, and I believed it. I read it over and over and over and over and over again, and I said, okay, somehow I believe. Just God gave me a gift of faith, and that's how it comes. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by word. And you live by faith. The just shall live by faith. That's all it is. It's just, this whole thing is just faith. This is works. That's kind of works too, and that's faith. And it sounds so pitiful and so useful. You know, it sounds so... I mean, when you really read it, it's really awesome because, you know, God's awesome. But you don't know that at first. At first you think, man, I got to do something. Go to church or light a candle or, you know, not, you know, hit people or don't be angry or something. But no, you just got to come to Jesus, let him do it. And it's good to tell Jesus everything. Jesus, I just... looked at that billboard and I lusted. Forgive me. Like right away. And just come boldly to the throne of grace right then. Or I just, you know, did whatever. I was just angry there. I hated that person because they did this to me or whatever. You just come boldly to the throne of grace and let God take care of it. Don't even repent. You have to repent. Repentance just means be comforted. All repentance is comforted. When I sin, I take it to the cross, and Jesus just comforts me. Okay, I'm not going to atone for it. I'm not going to make up for it. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to tell you, God. Okay, you showed me that I hated my mother-in-law. Okay, I know what it says in your word about that. You got to do it. I can't help you out. Sorry, I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun doing this, so I'm not going to help you out. And I hate it, so I know it's not good, and blah, 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 but not going to worry about it. You showed it to me. I'm repenting. I'm confessing it to you. Now you got to do it. And then he does it. And you don't even know. You're like, wow, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it, God. You are so good. And then I, you know, and then it's just joy unspeakable and full of glory. And before you were, you know, living in that sin, and God just got rid of it, and you're just like, man, I can't believe it. God is good. He is so good. So just don't help God out. He's God, and He can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So that's the message today. Just those three things. License, legalism, and faith. The cross, Jesus, my righteousness. He forgives and cleanses, and He does everything. It's just a gift. If it's a gift, then you don't have to do anything. Your kids, when they get a great Christmas present Christmas morning, they get a, you know, it's just a gift. It's free. They just open it up and take it. When I give something to somebody, money, whatever, it's just a gift. I don't care if you throw it on the ground or chew it up and eat it or buy something or give it to somebody. I don't care. It's a gift. That's how God does. He just gives you a gift. Everything's a gift. Everything. Your wife, your husband, friends. Everything's a gift from God. Your atonement, your baptism of the Holy Spirit's a gift. You don't have to work for it. Just ask. Glorification's a gift. You don't have to even do that. So God does it all. Over here, you're working hard. Over there, you're working hard. Over there, you're not. Over here, you're not working at all. It seems like you're cheating or you're not going to do it right or something, but it fits people like us, right? I think it does. I think it fits all of us perfect because we can't do anything. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. With Him, you can do all things. Amen?